Love then and be happy, beloved children of my heart, and never forget that until the day God will deign to reveal the future to man, all human wisdom is contained in two words, wait and hope. Alexander Dumas. Blood work is the bane of my daughter's existence. Missy's totally unfazed by normal childhood fears like boogeymen or broccoli, but goodness help you if you're anywhere near us and aren't wearing earphones when my child gets the quarterly blood draws to monitor her HIV. Her shrieks are loud enough to shatter the windows or eardrums. Honestly, my sweet girl's needle phobia is justified. She got jabbed way too many times by rushed, gruff, and/or inexperienced technicians in Haiti. More than once, when I visited her during our adoption process, her little arms were bruised and swollen because of inept medical care. Of course, we've worked on managing her situational anxiety for a long time and have tried everything our wonderful doctor and nurse suggested. We read several books written specifically to desensitize kids to medical procedures, role-played the routine with Missy taking a turn as the nice phlebotomist, did sight massage, processed it ad nauseum verbally, and tried numerous other techniques that typically work with children, all to no avail. So I decided to go old school and simple at her last hospital visit. When the nurse came out and called Missy's name, signaling that it was time for us to go back to the lab for her blood draw, she began to panic. I squatted down to my little girl's level, held her trembling shoulders, and said, "Baby, all you have to do is focus on me this time instead of Miss Sandy's needle, and it won't be as scary. It'll sting for just a second, and then it will be over. Just focus on me, honey. You look in my eyes, and everything will be okay, I promise." It was all I could do not to cry when she let out a shuddering exhale and put her hand in mine for the long walk back to the dreaded poking room. Missy began to cry softly and squirm when the nurse started the familiar routine of wrapping a rubber tourniquet around her bicep and swabbing the crook of her elbow with alcohol. Gently but firmly, I kept repeating, "Look at me, honey. Don't look at Miss Sandy. Look at Mama. Look at me, baby." And just before Sandy plunged that surgical steel barb into my baby's arm, Missy turned to me with her big brown eyes brimming with tears. Instantaneously, an avalanche of affection welled up in me. My voice caught as I murmured, "Keep looking at me, baby. I've got you. Everything's going to be okay." As I thought to myself, this is one of the sweetest, most vulnerable moments we've ever shared. Missy sat up a little straighter with an alarmed look on her face and declared loudly, "Mama, you have a big black hair coming out of your chin." While I didn't anticipate this precious exchange with my daughter ending with me making an appointment for laser hair removal, I was delighted that my unwanted whisker gave Missy a much-needed reprieve from her fear. Plus, I'm a firm believer that being able to laugh at yourself is one of the key components to consistent happiness. In his best-selling book, Flourish, psychologist Dr. Martin Seligman encourages readers with five other key components of life to achieve happiness and well-being. Number one, positive emotion. Number two, engagement. Number three, positive relationships. Number four, meaning. And number five, achievement. In Gretchen Rubin's New York Times bestseller, The Happy